service. So good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week. So how about the cold weather? Yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down? So, it's nice, okay. I see Miss Cassie had a couple thumbs up and thumbs down in the back, Miss Glenda. But I tell you, I don't mind. Now, even I get cold, believe it or not. And I don't mind it being cold, but it's when the wind blows that it's just crazy cold. Cuts right through you. But anyway, the weatherman said that we're supposed to be getting to some warmer afternoons, and I'm looking forward to that. I really am. And so I like working in the yard, doing things like that. It's much more enjoyable when it's a little bit on the warmer side. I do like a little cool, but somewhere in the middle will be fine. But anyway, it is good to be here this evening. And has anything happened in anybody's life this week that's just been great where you want to praise the Lord for? Miss Glenda?
It didn't start out that way.
Okay. Oh, geez.
Monday, about 4:30. And they had helicopter dogs and everything.
Oh, man.
But they found him Tuesday, mid morning, I think. He had his death in the road somewhere in a tree house in somebody's backyard somewhere.
So.
He had been out all night in that 30.
Oh. That must have been the longest night ever for him there.
And, he was cold and hungry and tired,
but he's fine. Well, yeah, praise the Lord.
I'm sure he's got a lot of explaining to do, but he's fine. That's all, right now, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Ooh. Again, whose boy was it?
It's Brandon's younger brother's son.
Okay. Okay. His nephew, Brandon's nephew.
Yes.
Wow. Missing overnight, I couldn't imagine.
I just really enjoyed the services, the whole thing, last Sunday.
Amen.
One of those times when everything just went right.
Just clicked, huh?
The kids didn't have any trouble with any of the kids or something. One in particular would have a problem with them once in a while. She was as sweet as she could be.
Now, praise the Lord.
She was wonderful.
And it was just a good day.
Amen. 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 So glad to hear that. So glad to hear that. Well, we thoroughly enjoyed Sunday as well. And, of course, having Brother Townsend with us Sunday night, giving his, mentioning his ministry and then preaching to us, that was a blessing. And what's that? Yeah, banjo. I said, man, I went up to him afterwards and said, man, I said, you got the works. So you got the height, got the big white teeth. So you got it all. And so that made him feel good. But tall young man. And boy, can play that banjo. Has a heart for the Lord. What more could you ask for, you know? And so in fact, he drove on home after he left here in like a 3-hour drive back to Tennessee. So he's a man on a mission, literally a man on a mission. But let's remember him. Anybody else? Just something great you want to say? Miss Cass?
I got a job close by, 10 minutes away, Sweet Christian Family.
Praise the Lord. That is awesome. 40-hour
week?
40-hour week. All right. That's good. That is good. That is real good. All right. Anybody else? I have a praise. So we woke up this morning, or Christy did. She leaves before we do, and me and Lily, and her car had a flat tire on it. And I'm not kidding you when I say this. We're going on 17 years of marriage. That's the first flat tire we ever got. First flat tire we ever got. And it was in our driveway, so double praise the Lord. But it got a little hairy. Her friend came, picked her up from work, dropped her off here tonight. And I took Lily to school in my car, Avalon, and I came back home, and got out the spare and started changing the front. It's the front right passenger side tire, front tire. Got it off. I got it off, but it wasn't without problem. I actually broke off on the studs where the bolts goes on to, and so I just went ahead and put everything on, tightened it up, went up to the store, got some air in it, and called Discount Tire, got all that set up. Long story short, went there. They said I needed a new tire. My other one couldn't be salvaged. So that's fine. Got the new tire. As they were putting on the new tire, they broke a second stud on the car. So I got three studs on one side. And so they said they'll pay for that. Do you know where Donnie Automotive is? I said, I've known Donnie forever. I said, yes, I know where Donnie Automotive is. Went I said, is it safe to drive on three studs? He said, well, from here to there, it should be fine. So I went there. And make a long story short, with a good conclusion, and this is my praise, that David, the one who operates now, he went back there and he fixed it. It only took like maybe 30 minutes to put two new studs on there, get the part there, put two new studs on there, and get me out the door, and no charge. So the tire place paid for it all. And I was still mesmerized at how they put two studs on a rim, on a tire like that. That quick of time, I thought they had to be welded on the axle, and so. But praise the Lord, that was taken care of, and so that's where half my day went to. But we got it fixed. Christy has her ride back, so praise the Lord on that. All right, if that's all the praises, we'll get into the prayer request. Brother Allen, Christy messaged me earlier and said a message from Terry. He's still not through with, he hasn't got rid of all of his pneumonia. I guess he had pneumonia. And so he still has some of that lingering. So medication is still in place there. And he still has to take it easy. So that's about where we're at with him. But outside of that, I think he's doing pretty good, getting a little bit stronger. And as far as where they had the surgery, that's getting better. But it's just this lingering pneumonia in his lungs. And so let's continue to pray for him on that, Miss Terry as well. David Barker texted me today, called me, actually left a message, that Reverend David Smith is going for his for an X-ray. If it's not this week, it's sometime this month. Now, the last X-ray he had was, it's been several months ago. I want to say maybe January, February, something like that, give or take. And they noticed that it was growing. So they put him on some medication, special medications, to really try to get that thing, you know, to go down. And this is the test following that X-ray. So let's lift up Brother David Smith. Y'all know who that is, preaches at Jubilee. And I can imagine how he's feeling. I can imagine how he's feeling. Going to that next test, that next X-ray, hoping, praying, putting all your faith in one basket, and hoping that God will do something for you. But let's remember him in prayer. Let's remember our children's home. I hear we got two new house parents. And so I don't see them yet. Maybe they hadn't started yet. But that's what I hear. And so let's pray for them. Continue to remember Ms. Joanne Rich with her knee. We said Brother Allen. Ms. Glenda, you're good with your eyes. You're on here. Let me take you off of that. We'll keep praying for you.
I got an appointment Tuesday. But everything's...
Follow up?
Yeah.
We'll keep you on here with that. Hey, we'll leave
you
on here as long as you want you on here. Tuesday follow-up.
Yeah.
All right. Eyes are important.
Yeah,
absolutely. Randy and Diane Ely. Christy Teague, of course, she had her outpatient last week. And all is going well with that. I haven't heard otherwise. And... Don and Carla Rich, let's remember them. Richard Martin, hopefully we can get in touch with him. Miss Shauna Bendy, she has a lot of upcoming tests. But also, she requested prayer last week, and I failed to mention it, for her uncle, who's not doing well. Lord knows about it. But just Miss Shauna Bendy's uncle, pray for him. Miss Marion Sanvin, her foot surgery. Do we know when the other foot surgery is? Anybody?
Knees
first.
Yeah,
knee,
November 9th.
Okay. Man, she's just now getting good from that foot. I think I put that off for a little while if I could. She wants it done, don't she? She must be in a lot of pain then. November 9th for the knee, okay. She's trying to get everything good and ready for something. She's going to take off on us, ain't she? All right, Miss Cece with her health, Prestridge, Bobby and Nancy, McClendon, Kelly and Tanner, Miss Cassie, I have you on here for health. I guess that was something. What's going on with that eye?
I've been having a lot of trouble with it, and I've got some scar tissue that's formed behind me. Let other surgeon do it. They're going to have to go behind somewhere and pull that all out. That's why I'm looking at my closest eye, and everything's kind of not right.
Okay. Remember you, Harold Dolph. I don't know if I mentioned this Sunday night or not, but you know he had to leave Sunday morning. He felt like he was getting ready to have a fainting spell, Brother David. And of course, Brother David took him home. I believe Chuck followed, something like that. But what's funny is Brother Harold made it home and got in his recliner and fired up Facebook on his phone or his laptop, and he finished the service. Done left here, made it home, got comfortable, and finished the service. That's devotion right there. And he's doing okay. He's doing okay. Leonard Dolores Palmer, Brother Leonard's medical situations. James and Shirley Townsend, Brother James and his breathing, his heart. Daly's Ashworth, Rusty and Chris Watkins, hope they're doing good. Melissa Slagle. She called, or she texted, inquired about our fall festival, and I told her about that. So hopefully she'll be down to see us. Miss Claudia, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, those serving in the military as well. All right, so is there anything else to mention? Just a couple little updates. I don't want to get too much in detail, but I do want to let you know that little girl Lily's been having trouble with has continued into this week. And just really trying to gauge what's going on, gauge the behavior. And so make a long story short, I reached out again to the principal, and so he's looking into it. So I had a lot to say, and I don't have enough time to say it now, and of course it's personal, but I believe he's going to deal with it. I believe he is, because you can't be going to school and being bullied like that. It's just, it breaches your mind mentally, emotions get involved, and so it's just not good. And so that's why I'm here as dad, step in and take care of it. So remember that. We do have some unspokens in my family and medically, so just remember us on that, me and my family. Okay? Anybody else? All right. Let's have a time of prayer together. All that would, you can meet us in the altar or pray right where you're at, and we will turn over to Brother Jeff just after that. good stuff. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Joshua chapter number 1 tonight. Joshua chapter number 1. I'm going to share with you what's on my heart today. And so that's all I know when it comes to preaching and teaching is to, like Brother Berman used to say, find out what's on your heart and then preach it, because that's what you're going to be most passionate about and zealous about, be able to connect to the people with, is whatever's on your heart. And so, of course, the Bible talks about that as well, is knowing what's on your heart. But the kind of week I've had last week and some things this week and a couple of situations that are being stretched out and lingering, I had to go back to Joshua and I had to look at these verses out of chapter 1 that's dealing with courage. That's dealing with courage. Anybody need courage tonight? Anybody facing things in their life that that are big or that's beyond your capabilities of handling? If so, this lesson is for you. And I know tonight that I need the strength of God in me. I need God to infuse courage into my mind, into my heart, because the challenges that I face and am facing are just too big, too much. They're too large. They're bigger than I am. And I think the Lord is allowing some things to mount in my life, because he is wanting me to get to the place where I'm totally dependent on him. The only thing is, I thought I was dependent upon him totally. And that leads me to believe there's just different levels of dependability as we trust and rely upon the Lord. I know I'm not the only one that's going through things. And when I say that, please don't worry, anything like that. I'm just trying to be transparent and genuine whenever I teach. So let's bow for a word of prayer. And then I want to read, starting with just one verse, verse number 9. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Meet with us in a special way tonight, and we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God, excuse me, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's verse number 9 of chapter 1. Now let me just say, and those who read the Bible already know what's taking place here, but for context, I'll say that Moses has passed away. Moses has died. I'm sure there was a lot of grieving going on for Moses and weeping over him. And because it was that Moses who led them and who cried unto the Lord several times throughout his ministry, who was patient with Israel. And so there was a missing of his presence. And don't we miss those who show great humility, who have a close walk with the Lord, who have a way of calling on the Lord for us, and then they pass off the scene, those tender-hearted, humble people. We miss those kind of people when they pass off the scene. This world needs more Moseses and not less. But Moses died, and now the torch is handed off to young Joshua. Joshua had followed Moses and watched Moses, and now it was his turn to lead the people of Israel. And in the Lord, in verse number 1 of chapter 1, says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And so that's what we have. That's the scenery, is that Joshua stepping up to the plate, and Joshua is bringing to mind all the experience he had with Moses, and he is, I'm sure, relying upon the Lord like he never has before. And here he goes. He's stepping up, and he's to lead the people of Israel. Now, with that said, the title tonight is A Time to Be Courageous. A Time to Be Courageous. At least four times in chapter 1, the Lord tells Joshua to be courageous. Look, if you would, in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9 again. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Look at the end of verse number 18. Only be strong and of a good courage. At least four times in chapter 1, God is telling this young man, new in a position, with great things he has to take care of, to be courageous, to have courage, to be strong. And now, if the Lord is saying that over and over and over, then that means there are some things coming down the pipe where he is going to have to trust the Lord. And I want to say again about us in our lives, there is the command in our lives to be courageous, to trust the Lord. And if that's a command for us, then we know that there's some things coming down the pike that we're going to have to rely upon the Lord for. And maybe even now rely upon the Lord for things currently. With that said, I want to mention three things. Three things about a time to be courageous. Number one, we see a command to be courageous. Look at verse number 9 again. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. And so we're commanded to be courageous. We're not to cowtail down. We're not to be fearful. We're not to be timid. But the truth is, we get that way at times. But we're to counter that with courage. And it's a command from God for us to be courageous. The Lord commands, he charges Joshua to be courageous and move forward. No matter how challenging it was for Joshua, the plan was not to stay the same, not to stay where he was at, but to move forward, to cross the Jordan, to go into Canaan and fight the enemies, because that's where the blessing of the Lord was going to be. And so there was this command in place so he can do that. And so the Lord commands and charges Joshua to be courageous and move forward. The word courageous means this: to be alert physically, mentally, and spiritually. It means simply to have a steadfast mind. In this case, it means to be courageous in the Lord and his ability. And so this was the call upon Joshua. The call was for him to have the right kind of mindset that he could operate in and through so that he can do the will of God for his life. In our lives today, even in Joshua's day, the devil likes to tempt us to be fearful and to doubt the blessings of God and to doubt God. Excuse me, my throat. And so the devil likes to do that. He loves to play off fear. And so many times you'll find yourself being fearful, being afraid because of whatever you're facing or whatever God's will is for your life. and you're called upon to have a mindset that's steadfast and fearless. And sometimes the devil gets in the equation and he tries to make you think that God's not good even. He tried to tell me that a while back. The devil tried to make me doubt the goodness of God because of current events in my life, in our life. He tried to get me to doubt that God is good and that God has a plan. I didn't listen to it, but it was just enough to bother me. And the devil never gets in and he never puts a question mark where there couldn't be a little bit of truth to it. And what I mean by that is you can be experiencing something that's big in your life that could go either way. It could be death, it could be life. It could be something that will move you forward or something that will set you back. And right in the middle of that, the devil likes to put a question mark on the goodness of God. Well, if God was good to you, then you wouldn't be experiencing what you're experiencing. God is just in heaven and he has an ego problem and he goes on ego trips and he wants you to crumble with fear under his feet. That's not from God. That's from the devil. But when you're vulnerable and you're in the heat of the battle, sometimes he holds out that question mark and puts that out there for you to doubt. And sometimes we doubt God. We just do. If John the Baptist, the greatest born among women, if he, the one who came preaching repentance, the forerunner of Jesus, if he did all of that and then landed in prison and asked the disciples, he said, is he the Messiah or shall we look for another? He doubted God. And so there's times in life when we do that. That's why courage is what we need. And he tells them, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong. Be strong. We got to have a strong mind tonight. Put up a shield in your mind. I pray often, even before I preach, Lord, help me gird up the loins of my mind. Bring my mindset in. Put a shield over my mind. I pray, Lord, give me a clear head and a calm heart, because that's what we need. We need, as the Bible says, to be strong and of a good courage. Now, the Lord is commanding Joshua to be courageous in an area that's new to him. Think about that. He's asking him to be courageous in a new area of his life, to lead Israel. To lead Israel into Canaan. Now, we know back in Numbers 14:7 that he spied out the land of Canaan, and he operated in that particular way as God would have him to then. But this is something new. He's to be the new leader. He's to lead Israel into Canaan land. And so this is a new area in his life where he's being challenged. And on that same token and in principle tonight, God is calling out to us and he is commanding us, charging us to rise to the new occasions that come up in our life. Now, you probably have things that you've experienced in life, many things, but then there are new things as you get older, am I right? New experiences. And sometimes those new things that come when you get older, I'm sure, are challenging and can be a little scary. Well, you can look at that in the life of Joshua. As his job was new to him, so are our trials to us in life, especially if we haven't experienced those things before. Having surgery on a certain part of our body for the first time. I don't know, having eye trouble or, you know, some kind of getting a test result back where there's a mass in our body and we have to have it removed, but they're going to test it for cancer too. Those are scary things. Those are new areas we've never been before, if it's for your first time. And so new things require new courage. And that's what's taking place with Joshua. He is the new leader, and he's to lead Israel into Canaan. And so with these new things comes new courage. That's why the Bible, four times in chapter number one, God tells him to be strong and courageous. Now, not only a command to be courageous, but then in verse number 9, there's a caution when being courageous. There's a caution here. Kind of said it a little bit in the first point, but we'll emphasize it now. He says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage," and here it is, the caution, "be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." That's the caution. Whenever we are operating out of new courage, just to be cautionate as well. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And so this tells us there was great possibility for Joshua to crumble with fear in moving forward. So he has a new job. He has a new task. He's the new man. And he's to move forward. And so along the way, he has to apply new courage. He has to make sure his mindset is courageous, believing and relying upon the Lord and his word. And so he expresses courage when he crosses the River Jordan. But then they get to Jericho. And then there's that moment in Jericho where he has to operate out of new courage again. And then they move on to the next one and the enemies and the battle. So courage and being courageous is the goal in every situation. But yet there's a caution there, because any step of the way, fear could creep in and totally paralyze Joshua. And so Joshua had to be careful not to crumble in fear when moving forward with the Lord. And so is the call in our life, is not to crumble with fear. Someone said, "Brother Justin, I've been to the altar and I prayed, and it seems like I can go to the altar and I can pray. But it's like whenever I get back to my pew or whenever I get to the car, I'm fearful again." I tell them, just go back to the altar again. If you're going down the road and you're driving with your eyes open, of course, pray. When you get home and you're burdened again, well, give it to the Lord again. And then when you rise up and you do something and you're worrying again all about your problem again, give it to the Lord again. Because that's how it is. It's a spiritual warfare. I wish that I could lay my burden down one time and it never comes back. But the problem is, we are human beings that, because of the new birth, are built for another world. But yet, while we're still down here on planet Earth, our bodies are not redeemed yet. Our minds are not redeemed yet. And so there's this constant affliction. There's this constant warfare that takes place. We have to allow our hearts to level out our heads. Our hearts knows Jesus. Our hearts believes in his word. Our hearts know that he has a bigger plan and he is working all things together for good. But our minds try to figure it out. And there's an imbalance between the heart and the mind. And the goal is praying it, believing it. And right when you get that thing settled, you're believing God, you got peace that flows like a river, things are leveling out. Oh, then it goes back out of sorts again. It just, finally you prayed enough, you cast your cares on the Lord, you're balanced out. You're going through your day now, heart and mind, balanced out, settled on God. Then something happens in your day, and it brings it back up again. So it's a balancing act daily. This is warfare. This is a battle. And so the Lord Jesus, or God the Father, lays out a caution here. He says, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Think about it, the possibility of Joshua crumbling in fear. There's the very appearance of the Jordan River. Chapter 3, verse 15 says it's swelling out of the banks. And this is the very first job Joshua has, is to cross that river. Verse 15, chapter 3. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Just picture walking up to that Jordan. Just picture, first of all, in your mind, if you were Joshua, okay, I know what the Jordan River looks like. Been there before. Dealt with it before. And so now they actually go there. And so in his mind, he has an idea of what Jordan looks like. But now it's even a greater Jordan. It's overflowing. And so what he was thinking about in his mind is now magnified in person. And think about in life sometimes how we think about these struggles, we think about these problems we have in our minds, and even sometimes in person, when we're actually confronted with it, it's much more magnified. So Joshua could have crumbled with fear here. And again, there's in chapter number 10 explains the different types of enemies that are in Canaan. The Canaanites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. All these were waiting over there in Canaan land. Then in chapter 6, verse 1, there's Jericho. None went out. None came in. They were barred and bolted shut in Jericho because they heard how God moved them through the Jordan River. They were fearful. And so there was the taking down of Jericho. And then chapter 15, verse 14, there's the giants, the sons of Anak. And so some of these things literally were seen when Joshua got on the scene. The River Jordan, he's seen that. But a lot of these things were not seen. Were not seen. Some of these obstacles were seen and some were not seen. And so Joshua literally didn't fully know what he was getting into. He just had to trust the Lord and be of good courage. The giants of Anak, I mean, not talking about Goliath here, talking about other giants of Anak. I'm sure he didn't think about that. And some of these other things. Now back in Numbers 14, he saw some activity going on. But just think about in life the things that we don't see, that we don't know what's coming up down the road. You look back and you think, man, I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming out with something big. God brought me through it, and I'm glad I didn't see it. Anybody glad you didn't see some things coming down the road? I'm glad I didn't see some things coming down the road. I'm glad, I wish I did on some things. Other things, I'm glad I didn't see coming down the road because I may have run and went the other way. Joshua didn't see everything coming down the road. He just knew that he was called by God to move forward. We are all called by the Lord to move forward in our Christian lives. We don't know what's coming down the road, but we do know he wants us, the Lord wants us to be courageous, and he wants us to trust in him every step of the way. He wants us to put our talk into shoe leather. Whatever measure of faith we may think we have, he wants us to put it in shoe leather. And so we see tonight a command to be courageous, a caution to be courageous, or a caution when being courageous. And then number 3, a companion when being courageous. Verse number 9 again. That latter part of verse 9. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So you can break this verse down into 3 parts. A command. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. A caution. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And then a companion. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord gives Joshua a promise of his presence. God says, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. I'm going to be with you. He gives him a promise of his presence as he moves forward and for his journeys in its entirety. The Lord will be with him every step of the way. There's a song that is on J93.3 Christian Radio. And I'm so sorry, y'all. I told it to Lily early last year on the way to school one morning. And there were some problems last year we were facing. Things in school, out of school. The song says, every step of the way, you know. It's just every step of the way, I'll be here with you. Every step of the way, I'll comfort you. It's talking about God, but when I told her this song, when I said, I'm going to be with you every step of the way, not only I told her, God will, but I will. I will comfort you. I will be with you every step of the way. And tonight, Jesus will be with us, and he is with us every step of the way. Every step of the way. In chapter number 3, notice a couple things here, if you would. When it comes to a companion being with us, or a companion when being courageous, the Lord being with us. Chapter 3, we see in verse 3, verse 4, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned. And it's mentioned in moving forward. Notice, if you would, in verse 3 of chapter 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Verse number 3 tells us a little bit about the ark. And so we know that while God's presence was with Israel, his presence also here was localized within this Ark of the Covenant, or it was a symbol of his presence, or it was his presence. It was whenever the ark was around, the presence of God was around. And so it was a localized presence of God. And he says, whenever you see the Ark of the Covenant moving, go after it. Go after it. And that's the goal even today, is whenever we sense the Lord is moving, we need to go after it. Go after him. Go after him. Follow him. He's our companion, yet he is leading us. He's our shepherd. He is leading us. And here the Bible says in verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and Levites are bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Let us go after the Lord. Sometimes when we go after the Lord, it's through valleys, it's through rivers. They're going through the River Jordan. It's up on the mountains. It's down on the lower levels. It's through the wilderness when we follow the Lord. But he is with us. He's with us. And so in verse number 3 we see the ark. In verse number 4 we see instruction. Listen to this. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Okay, that last phrase is kind of scary, because he's saying you haven't been this way before, and you better make sure you keep your eyes on that ark. Now, he says this in verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it. Y'all going to have to just give me 1 second, okay? Why should there be a space between the ark and the people? Well, we know they're not to touch the ark, but here he's talking about creating a space as you follow the ark. When it moves, the priests carry it. There needs to be a space between you and the ark. Why? Why? Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. And then he says, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. So let me break that down for you. If we have the ark of God here, let's say right here, the priests are carrying it. Okay, there's going to be a space between the ark, a space right here, and then the first row of people if they traveled in ranks. Okay? So these people would have a clear view of the ark because of the space. Now, here's the first group that's watching the ark. Now, there's a space behind that second group. It's actually a long way apart, a pretty good distance. So they can see the first group in front of them, but they also got a clear view of the ark because of the space. Next group, all the way over here, they can see the second group, the first group, but also they can see the ark because of the space in between. A clear view of the ark. Now, what would happen if they just all grouped together? You have the first, let's just say the first line of Israelites, and they just all just grouped in right all the way down, all the way back. The people back here couldn't get a clear view of that ark because all the people in front of them. That's the idea here. You say, so what's the big idea? What's the whole matter in this situation? By allowing the spaces, Israel could get a fresh... Israel could see the ark's direction clearly. If I was back here, I'd be relying on those in front of me. And they're watching the ark. Oh, it's going this way? Okay. Oh, it's going this way? Okay. Because I couldn't see it because I'm just in the large group. But because there's spaces, it's enough room for everybody to see the ark themselves and determine where that ark is going for themselves. And there are so many, and listen, there are places for leadership, the pastorate role, teacher, deacon, and all the rest of it. But as it comes to individuals, we need to be able to see the ark ourselves. We don't rely on somebody to tell you what Jesus is doing in your life or which direction Jesus is going or leading you. They don't know that. They may be, the Lord may be leading them in a certain direction. But where is the Lord leading you? Well, you got to focus on that ark. Sometimes people leave churches in groups. They just get up, oh, you're leaving the church? Okay, I'm going too. Well, the ark may be leading you away, may not be leading you away, but you couldn't tell the difference because your relationship with Jesus ain't that close. And that's the truth tonight. A lot of people rely on other people for spiritual direction, and it may be benefiting them, but God has something totally different for them. So it's very imperative, as the Bible would have it here, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. When you get time, Brother Don, figure that out for me. That space, 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Especially going in a direction you've never been before, you have got to make sure. I've got to make sure my eyes are on the Lord. He will provide the courage to get through these new untraveled spots and spaces in my life. He will give you the courage. But during the process, each and every day, every moment, every hour, we got to make sure our eyes are on that ark, especially in uncharted waters. We got to make sure that we keep our eyes on Him. And so we see that there's a companion when being courageous. We know that the Lord was going to lead Joshua, lead the men. He said He was four times in chapter 1. He's to be their companion. We also know that there was the command. We see that in chapter number 1, verse 9. The Lord commanded him, and He said it four times. or at least to be courageous four times. And then that caution, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. You know, that's the challenge tonight, is when you show up for your surgery, is to not be afraid nor dismayed. When the doctors give a bad report, is to not be afraid nor dismayed. When you lose your job, when something goes wrong, that's always a challenge, is to not be afraid or dismayed. But it's in those moments where we need to understand that the Lord's with us, and He has promised that He'll be our provider, and to keep our eyes on Him every step of the way, and He'll always get us through. That's the lesson tonight, just a time to be courageous. That's what helped me today and so far this week, and I hope that something was said or something was reiterated that would be a help to you. Father, we love You tonight. We praise You. We thank You for all things, Lord. Help us, Lord, stand in Your might. Help us, Lord, have the mindset of courage. That is, Lord, we're being confident in You and Your ability. That's why we're courageous. Not because of what we can do, but what You can do. Help us, Lord, have our own personal relationship with You, just like in the ranks, just like how they were divided with the spaces. God, we keep, help us keep our eyes fixed and focused upon You so that we may have clear direction of where You're leading. We love You tonight. We lift up all of these prayer requests. And Father, we pray that You'll meet us back on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Help us have a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day this coming up Sunday. We'll praise You. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Anything to mention before we close? All right.